projector bulb, I can see you all so much better. Unfortunately, you can probably see me better too, and I apologize for that from your end. But here we go, sermons on the Psalms, a little bit in terms of introduction. So again, we're looking at Psalms 148, 149, 150. The last grouping of the Psalms, 146 through 150, they close out the book of Psalms as a whole, but they also close out Psalms Volume 5. And if you remember from way back when we started the series, Psalm Volume 1 was meant to accompany Genesis. Psalm Volume 2 was meant to accompany Exodus. Volume 3 was for Leviticus. Volume 4 was for Numbers. Volume 5 is for Deuteronomy. And during those sequence of Psalm studies, we've seen Psalms from all over the place, right? We've seen some Psalms of thanksgiving. We've seen Psalms of kingship, praising God for the divinic line of the kingdom. We've seen Psalms of praising God for his divine kingship. We've seen imprecatory Psalms. God, you see what my enemies are doing. Do something about those rascals, right? We've seen all kinds of Psalms. And now we're at the conclusion of the book of Psalms. And the idea is quite simply this. Taken as a whole, the purpose of the Psalms is to turn us into a people of worship. It's to make us a people who understand God has been with us in the fantastic, God has been with us in the difficult, God has been with us in the past, God will be with us in the future, and as God's people, we have absolutely every reason to offer God praise. And so that's also why we're flipping the service this week, because I thought it'd be nice for us to look at the Psalms, evaluate our heart for praise, and then conclude by moving into praise and then coming to the Lord's table, which is also an act of worship on our part. So that's why we flip this. For those of you who are saying, wait, he's speaking already and we haven't praised the Lord yet, there's a reason behind that. You didn't just miss it. Although if you came late, it's a warning. That could happen another time. So be that as it may. So we are to be a people who praise God. There's also a really interesting dynamic. If you take a look at Psalms 148, 149, and 150, there's some hints. Remember, our series has been Psalms that are designed to be read together. And there's two not so subtle hints if you're reading through the book of Psalms, especially if you're gifted to be able to read it in the original language. But when you're reading through the book of Psalms, when you get to these three, there's two really big giveaways that show the psalmists, those who put this together as a volume, intended us to look at these together. All right, so the first of this is that the phrase praise, that's cool, the phrase praise, interesting, right? It appears 13 times in Psalm 148. Then it appears 3 times in Psalm 149. You might be saying, wait a minute, I can count, Pastor Keith, I can count, and I count 5. Well, 3 of those words for praise, halal, are the same word that we see 13 times in the previous psalm, and we will see 13 times again in the next successive psalm. The other two occurrences are two distinctly different Hebrew words for praise. So what we have is 10 plus 3, 3, and 10 plus 3. So the psalmist is showing us a really, really cool connection. And I'll show you what the other one is in just a moment. So the sandwich stack, I like to call it, the sandwich stack shows the reader these psalms are meant to be connected. Sometimes we're doing, through the Bible in a year, breaks those things down for us, breaks them into individual readings. We see them a day or two apart, and we miss that connection. But here it is, 13, 3, and 13. And now it's time, with regrets to my good friends, the Marcuses, now it's time for a lesson in Hebrew 101. Are you ready? Lesson in Hebrew 101. The opening phrase in Psalm 48 looks like this. Everybody say it with me. What? All right. That top line says, Hallelu. The next word next to it, over here in the side, it won't work on the screen. We'll have to come up with a better plan. Hallelu. And the second word is a contraction for the divine name. You would pronounce it Yah. Hallelujah. Have you heard that before? Have you ever used it yourself? Well, hallelujah, right? That's how the psalm opens. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The second line is hallelu et, and then the divine name. I'm going to say Adonai. But we have hallel et Adonai. The Hebrew word et is interesting. It's a word that defines the definitive one. We translate it in our English Bible as the, but the isn't exactly the right way to put it. It's an emphatic the. So yesterday my wife and I were out furniture shopping, which seems to be, I have three activities in my life now. I teach Bible at Phoenix Christian High School. I pastor here, and I shop for furniture. Those are the three things I do with my time. It's an exciting endeavor. And as we were shopping for furniture yesterday, my wife picked out a chair that we're going to put in the living room. If you'd like a tour of said chair after the service, you could come over and see it. And oh, it's fantastic. We got this chair. So the furniture store was full of chairs. So we went to the counter, and I said to the person, we'd like to buy the chair. And the clerk looked around like, uh-huh. So I clarified, oh, I'm sorry, there's lots of chairs in here. Let me help. I would like to buy the chair. Right. Now, while that clarified it for me, it didn't clarify it for the clerk. But this is what the psalmist is doing here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. No room for distinction. No room for doubt. Praise be the specific God of the Bible. That's what the psalmist is doing here. Clarifying it, making sure we know who the object of our praise is. Because there are going to be times in Israel's history where they're going to mess this up. They're going to get this wrong. The psalmist is saying, praise be to God, praise the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, right? The God of Jacob, the God of David. Praise that God. And now we're going to take a look at Psalm 148. Now that we've got that out of the way, Psalm 148, all creation was made to praise God. Boy, you don't need to pay me to tell you that this morning. You can see that yourself. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. It opens with hallelujah, it invites us to praise the Lord, and it tells us that while we are praising the Lord, the angels are joining in. That praise is not a distinctly human act, it also takes place in the heavenlies, the psalmist tells us. Praise Him, all His angels, praise Him, all His hosts. It's kind of like a catchy tune. Yesterday, I made a trip to the hardware store, which kind of dovetails along with shopping for furniture. I thought about having a little contest, predict how many times Pastor Keith is going to go to the hardware store during the month of May, win a free pie, right? Kind of thought about that. We're already at, you know, just yesterday was three alone, and that was only dealing with one piece of furniture. So as I was walking through the store, I don't know what was playing on the overhead music deal, but I found myself singing it as I'm waiting to check out. I wasn't even paying close attention to what it was. I got to the register, and the lady at the register said, what is it that you're singing? I don't know. I'm singing whatever it was that was playing on the overhead speakers. It was catchy. It captivated us, right? Sometimes a song does that. Somebody starts singing. Somebody else joins in. Somebody else takes a part. This is what happens in the heavenly host when we start offering our praise here. The angels of heaven, the hosts of God, join in. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. All creation is about to be encompassed in the praising of God. For by His commandment, they were created. Everything that God has created offers Him praise. For He established them forever and ever. He gave a decree, and it shall not pass away. And even if all God did was create us, we would owe Him praise. Even if all Jesus did was save us, we would still offer Him all praise. But doesn't our God do much more than that? Not only has He created, not only has He saved and restored, but He also works in our lives presently. He does things for us, with us, through us. And because of that, we should be continually in an atmosphere offering new praises away. It is a decree, it shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures, and all deep, fire and hail, snow and mist, storm, wind, fulfilling the world. Everything that God has created praises Him. Some of us vocally, some by doing what they were made to do. And that offers Him praise. The psalmist continues, mountains and all the hills, fruit trees and the cedars, beasts and livestock, creeping things and flying birds. I'm going to have to pick this up. My glasses are letting me down. This extra step that allows me to see you better prohibits me from seeing the notes. So we'll either need to get a new prescription or a taller podium. I'm thinking a taller podium would be less impactful to my ego. Let them praise the name of the Lord. I'm reading what I already read. I'm off track. Mountains and hills. There we go. Mountains and hills. Fruit trees and cedars. Beasts and all livestock. Creeping things and flying birds. You know what's cool about this property? We see flying birds that we don't see where I live currently. If there's a bird outside my window now at the house that we're living in, it's a pigeon. You know who's excited to see pigeons? Nobody. Nobody. But we sat in the parsonage today looking out the window. We saw a roadrunner go scampering by. We saw quail tearing through. These are fun birds. These are not the birds that you want to put protective netting up to keep away. These are great birds. Once again, God loves CCV, right? Gives us great birds. Kings of the earth and all peoples. All peoples. Let me let you into insight. You know what all means in the Hebrew language? All. That includes us. We. Last time I checked, you were people. Right? Last time I checked, you were people. So we are the ones who get to offer. Praise God, all you people. Princes, all rulers of the earth, young men. Well, I can't delude myself with that one any longer. Maidens together, old men. There it is. Old men. And children. Praise be to God. Let them all praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His majesty is above the heavens and the earth. He has raised up a horn for His people. Excellent, excellent. The same kind of horn that when Joshua blew the trumpet, the walls of Jericho collapsed. Praise for all His saints, for the people of Israel who are near to Him. Praise the Lord. Psalm 148 tells us all creatures were made to offer praise. Then we move to Psalm 149. Psalm 149 addresses the question, Why do we praise? Why do we offer praises to the Lord? The psalmist says, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. His praise in the assembly of the godly. Let Israel be glad of his maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with tambourine and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. The Lord takes pleasure in his people. When we offer our praises to God, he is pleased. When we offer our worship to God, he is glorified. When we exercise our spiritual gifts, when we do what he made us to do, he is in awe. And it doesn't matter if we don't do it as well as somebody else. How many of you as parents ever had your young children bring home the world-famous hand turkey at Thanksgiving time? Come on, anybody ever received the hand turkey? All right. Anybody ever received the handmade Father's Day or Mother's Day card? Anybody receive one of those? Anybody receive the classic Christmas tree ornament? Handmade. Anybody ever receive the Vacation Bible School craft? Did you ever say, I wish I had that other kid's gift instead because that one came out better? Did you ever wish that? No. Your gift filled your heart with amazement and wonder because your child made it for you. It probably was never in any concern that it was going to be put into the Louvre or the Smithsonian. It was probably destined for your refrigerator. But it was precious and priceless to you. And you may have a stack, a box, a file with these things to this day. And when you bring them out, you renew the joy of the moment you received that. God is pleased when we exercise the gifts he gave us and we are not in competition with other members of the body for God's attention. He is pleased with us when we offer him praise, when we exercise our gifts, when we demonstrate the fruit. He is well pleased. Let the godly glory, the psalmist says. Let them sing for joy on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their throats and the two-edged swords in their hands to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment of the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. This is a time in the season of the life of Israel where God had told them to expand, to gain some territory by conquest. And as they were following the Lord's instructions, the Lord was pleased. He was blessed by what they did. This is honor for all godly ones. Praise the Lord. Here's the amazing thing. God honors his people and is honored by his people by using them. The mystery of the faith, God uses us to achieve kingdom purposes when he could do it much better himself. But this gives us an opportunity to be partners in what God is doing. And as we do that, it offers God praise. It's part of our worship. There's a movie years and years and years ago, Chariots of Fire. One of the people was a definite faith-based character based on a true story. And he was a runner. And he said, I feel God's pleasure when I run. Well, when God has gifted us, when God has empowered us, and we properly exercise the gifts that he has bestowed upon us, we feel God's pleasure, and God is pleased. Psalm 150 wraps this up. Praise the Lord. In the Hebrew it says? Hallelujah. One more time. In the Hebrew it says? Hallelujah. Yeah, only we're one combo of Hebrew words today, so we want to put it to good use. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God in His sanctuary, the psalmist says. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. There it is again. While we are offering praise in the sanctuary, in God's house, the heavenly host is joining in. It's that catchy tune. Only unlike me at the Ace Hardware, they know what they're singing and they know why they're singing. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. And then the psalmist concludes with how we offer praise. Praise Him with the trumpet sound. Praise Him with the lute and the harp. Praise Him with tambourine and the dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. However, if you're going to praise Him with sounding cymbals, be courteous to the person sitting right in front of you. Just saying. We want to be polite. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Goes doubly for that one. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, last time I checked, we have breath. It may not be as deep as bold as it was when I was 25, but there's still breath in these bones. And while there is still breath in these bones, we should be offering God our praise. Charlie gave us an insight for today. We're going to conclude with Charlie's insight. The key to Psalms 148, 149, and 150 is praising the Lord always, always, and praising the Lord in any way we can. Sister Kyoko, if you would come and lead us into a season of praise.